In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We take a moment to congratulate all who have been received into the church this day, to Daniel and Ashley, and to Reuben and Lydia, and also to Eric. And we especially welcome friends and family members of theirs who have gathered here in the Orthodox Church, as we in the Orthodox Church today celebrate Pentecost, which is the commemoration of the descent of the Holy Spirit. And no better day to celebrate the mystery of holy baptism, perhaps, than today, where we remember the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the church. And in the holy mystery of chrismation, this is what these newly converts have received, is the reception of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it has served for us, those of us watching. You see, this is what you received when the Holy Spirit came upon you, when you were chrismated. Okay, so maybe you were a baby and maybe you didn't realize this. But this serves as an opportunity to enlighten and illumine our own eyes and understanding to what is the nature of this descent of the Holy Spirit upon us. How does the Holy Spirit sanctify us? How is indeed our salvation accomplished by the grace of God? It's accomplished with great joy. It's accomplished with thanksgiving, with God's mercy. In the Slavic Orthodox churches, on the Feast of Pentecost, there is a custom among the Russians, Ukrainians, I think some others, of putting up branches of trees. We put vases in our church. In some churches, though, you go in and the whole iconostasis is decorated with trees, and you walk in, and it looks like a jungle. But really, as I thought about it this week, it really is intended to look like the Garden of Eden. Because that's what the church is. You see, the church, when we receive the Holy Spirit, this completes our journey back to paradise. The reception of the gift of the Holy Spirit takes us back to paradise. It opens the doors of the gates of heaven to us. This is what Christ has accomplished by his coming into the world, by his taking flesh, by his death, by his resurrection, by his ascension into heaven. And so as to make straight our way into heaven, he has given us his Holy Spirit to take us back to Eden, to give us the second chance, as it were, to get it right, so that we can live the way that God originally created us and intended us to live. In goodness, in holiness, in righteousness, the church is Eden. The church is paradise. Salvation and Christian life is paradise. This is what we are invited into and which we participate in on this day of Pentecost. And when we are baptized and when we are chrismated, we make that entry into paradise. And we are children of paradise. That's our land. We're not, dare I say, even Americans. Because this is not our homeland. Our homeland is paradise. That's where we belong. What does paradise look like? I think the people who are farmers can give us an idea as to how the paradise works. Because what was present in paradise? Trees, bounty, beauty, and the plants growing and flowering and producing food in abundance. Life experienced and seen, appreciated. And the source of that life, who is God, revealing himself through his creation, through this sanctification of the world. You see, we're so used to seeing death. We're so used to living in the arid lands where there is no life, scrounging out a living in this world. We don't know what Eden is. We don't know what paradise is. But the Lord has come to take us there. The Lord promised before he ascended. He said, look, I'm preparing a place for you. It's not a castle. It's paradise. It's the place where you were originally intended to live, to thrive, to prosper. Now this paradise, however, lest we limit ourselves strictly to a limited understanding of this, you know, is not just simply a place in, you know, in terms of, you know, trees and those kinds of things. But there's a spiritual paradise. You see, that place where Adam and Eve were originally created and brought into being, and where they were given that opportunity to live, was a place which was a spiritual paradise. And if we don't know what the earthly paradise is like, we sure don't know what the spiritual paradise is like until we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us to reveal paradise to us, to reveal everything that is spiritual, everything that God came and desires to bestow upon us in the abundance of His mercy and His love. That's what today is the bestowal of the spiritual paradise upon us. Now, it's interesting, if you go back into the book of Genesis, we read the book of Genesis in the Orthodox Church during Great Lent. In the first week of Great Lent, we get this passage from Genesis chapter 2. And it describes, in great detail actually, these four rivers that are flowing around. And he describes Euphrates, and different fathers have interpreted. One was the Ganges River, the Pishon River, where there was good gold, it says. And this rather obscure statement about these four rivers. Obscure to me, but not necessarily to the fathers of the church. Because, you see, the fathers of the church saw in the rivers the essential character of what a paradise looks like. You see, there is no paradise unless there's good water. There is, you know, no oasis unless there's water. There are no crops unless there is water. And so you plant the crops, hopefully close to a nice little stream where you can get water. And even if the Lord doesn't provide the water from the heavens, you can take it from the stream or from the reservoir or use irrigation or some sort of way, because we realize the essential character of water. In the Orthodox Church at Pentecost, and we follow the teachings of Christ throughout the Gospel, St. John, where he has constantly been describing, actually during these last several Sundays of Pascha, describing the water as the gift of the Holy Spirit, the water being the symbol of the Holy Spirit, flowing out in abundance. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman, where the Lord promised what you experience today, dear converts, the water. The Lord promised to the Samaritan woman, there will be a water flowing within you. That's what you've received today. It has been fulfilled. The Lord's promise has been fulfilled. The water is flowing within you. In the promise that the Lord said in the gospel today, He says this shall be a spring, a fountain welling up within the soul. This is the watering of your personal paradise, of the spiritual paradise that God has planted within your soul. And just like that Garden of Eden of old, It is entrusted to us as a wondrous, splendid, undeserved gift, but nevertheless requires us to be tillers and stewards and people that take care of that which He has entrusted to us. Certainly not only just in earthly matters, the crops, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fountain of purity within our hearts, that waters and nourishes the spiritual paradise, which is our soul. This requires our care as well. This requires great care, great diligence, attentiveness. These waters are flowing, the four waters. The fathers of the church saw in this symbol also the four gospels. The Word of God presented to us in four separate streams that bring life to our souls. And when we find ourselves getting a little bit dry spiritually, we must turn to the Holy Word of God and to the Scriptures, to the rivers that bring life back again to our souls, as His Word is. This is what His Word accomplishes within our souls. It waters us, even if we're not aware of it. It keeps us from dying, because in the word of the Lord is our life. One of the fathers talked about the water in this way. He said, when the rain falls, and in the garden there are many different plants and fruits, okay? So we know that there are cucumbers, or maybe there's lettuce or whatever is growing today. That lettuce doesn't grow by itself, or the cucumber, or the fruit tree produces nothing. Nothing is produced without water. The dead plant produces nothing. The plant may have the potential to have fruit. It could have all the potential in the world. But unless there's water, then there will be no fruiting. But once the water comes, then the potential for an abundance of the crop becomes possible. An abundance that is even unforeseen, something that we could never even imagine. Now, if this is true, that the one water produces a multitude of fruits and vegetables from heaven, is it not also true about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? That the one Holy Spirit comes to many different seedlings, as it were, five today that have been watered. And imagine the spiritual gifts that will be coming to maturity. Maybe not immediately, maybe immediately. We don't know. But this is what God is accomplishing in the church, in your life. Is this flowering, is this fruiting, is this budding, is this maturing of the grace of the Holy Spirit? And you see, brothers and sisters, one and all, you know, that again, we are privileged to be able to see this for us all as examples of what we are all supposed to be doing. We who perhaps are living in the arid life, where there isn't much spiritual fruit, or where we're barely hanging on spiritually. Today is Pentecost. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be watered. Let your soul bathe in God's mercy, His grace in abundance. May this grace manifest itself to you in joy. Another one of the fathers, St. Ambrose, talked about the four rivers in this way. He said, in a related way to this notion of the fruits, what are some of these fruits that are revealed? He defined them or described them in terms of the four great virtues. So imagine that. Virtue comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he elucidated the four rivers, as it were. Wisdom, prudence, justice, fortitude. And the others that flow along with them. Virtue. You want to talk about a dry world, a world that lacks wisdom, a world that lacks prudence, justice, fortitude, mercy. You see, this is the nature, then, brothers and sisters, of the fallen world, is that these things do not exist here. They do not exist until the Lord comes and until the Lord bestows His Spirit. And now they can flow in abundance in this world, in our spiritual lives, in the spiritual garden, which is our soul. And it can water us. It can enable us to grow. And you know, we truly are a garden. We're not just simply by ourselves, but rather the church is the one that receives the fullness of these streams of water of the Holy Gospels and the grace of the Holy Spirit. A person who is baptized or chrismated and received into the church becomes a part of the church, you see, and then you're able to be sustained and participate in the flow of water all the time. You see, the water is streaming through the church all the time. That's what this liturgy is. It's just our chance to tap, to taste, and to see how good the Lord is. And so why it's so important that we participate fully, that we immerse ourselves, that we are bathed in the life and in the grace of the Holy Spirit that is afforded to us in the Holy Church. The river that has been poured out today is the river of the Holy Spirit, as St. Ambrose describes. This is no small matter, he says, for the Spirit of God has been poured forth upon humankind in abundance. May we receive the Spirit as you have, and may God bless and fill you with an abundance of his grace. I'd like to conclude the words this morning with a quotation from St. John Chrysostom, where he describes the cooling streams of paradise, if it gets a little bit warm. He says this, he says, awe-inspiring in truth are the mysteries of the church. Awesome truth is its altar, a fountain sprung up out of paradise, sending forth not only visible streams, but also spiritual streams, arising as a fountain from this high tableland. Alongside this fountain, there have grown not willows without fruit, but abundant trees reaching to the heaven itself, with fruit always in season, remaining still incorrupt. If someone is intensely hot, let him come to this fountain and cool down from the feverish heat. It dispels the parching heat of sin and gently cools all things that are very hot, not only those literally inflamed by the sun's heat, but also those set on fire by sin's burning arrows. It does so because it takes its beginning from above and has its source from there, and from there it is fed. Many are the streams of this fountain, streams that the Paraclete sends forth, and the sun becomes its custodian, not keeping its channel open with a mattock, but by making our hearts receptive. And so with these words, then, St. John describes for us what we are able to receive. God has opened to us the stream of his divine grace. May you who are newly converted, Eric and Daniel and Ashley and Reuben and also Lydia, may you receive this stream in abundance. May it flow always in your heart. And may your soul be watered unto life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.